Mike said, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for those of you that have provided food and some fellowship that we've had and some things that we've been able to have some relaxation, walking around a little bit today and doing some other things. It's been a blessing. And thank you for your support of Servants Heart Camp. We sincerely appreciate what you do for us. This is going to be a little bit unique. You get a double header tonight. Not often that you hear two different messages, but I have some good news. Maybe a little bit like Mike, I am not preaching tonight. I am going to be painfully, very painfully transparent with you tonight. I early on determined what I was going to preach on Sunday morning and last night, and I struggled with what I was going to share tonight. I went in one direction and backed up, and as early, as recent as this morning, I was thinking, I can preach something I preached before. I'm not gonna do this. But here where I am. If I would give a title to this, it would be The Confessions of a Disheartened Missionary. Pat and I are your missionaries. You have some foreign missionaries. You have some home missionaries. And we are very thankful for your moral, your financial, for your support. But tonight I'm going to confess an area that has been disheartening to me. And as I share some things that actually I'd rather not share, maybe you can glean some things for yourself and know how to pray for us as well. Near the end of 2019, I looked at my prayer list and I said, nothing has changed. My prayer list is the same at the beginning of 2019 as it was at the end. God, are you doing anything? And within a couple days, both of these events happened within a couple days, I was reading, you ever read in the Bible, this is fun, and something just like jumps off the page and just like, it's like amazing. You know, God put that there for me. I've read that before, but it's never been there before. And it was 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7. And God had given to Azariah a message to King Asa. And it is, be ye therefore strong, and let not your hands be weak, and your work shall be rewarded. And as I looked at that, I said, God, thank you. I just need to be faithful, and you've promised to reward. But then I got to thinking, well, you know what? This was written, God gave that to Azariah to give to King Asa, but it's not specifically for me. And the Lord brought to mind Galatians chapter 6, and turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9. And this is a New Testament passage that specifically applies to me. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So many times we think of that, and we think of, man, this person is sowing their wild oats, and they're going to reap a crop of wild oats later. But that is not only a negative promise, that is a positive promise. That is a very positive promise. As we consistently sow things that are pleasing to God, He promises that we will reap that. Verse 8 tells us that. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And then there's a little condition there. If we faint not. Now, what is the purpose? Why do you send out from Faith Bible Church foreign and home missionaries? Rick, you've been on the deacon board probably more than anybody here. Why do you send out missionaries?
So the gospel can go beyond our region, and so people can be saved.
So the gospel can go beyond our regions, so people can be saved. So why am I a little bit of a disheartened missionary? As I sat down and began to look at this, I said, man, we've had people saved frequently, every year. I mean, not every camp, but lots of camps. There are people that see their need. They see their need that they are a sinner. They see what God has provided for them, and they're gloriously saved. And their life is transformed. I think I gave one of those examples on Sunday of a guy that could be a mess right now, but he is just having the time of his life serving God. So we see kids saved every summer. We see kids saved at retreats. On the video that we showed, there was one that was saved at a winter retreat. We see that often. But as I was thinking about that, I thought, when was the last time that I saw someone saved as a result of my ministry in the community? When was the last time that I saw someone receive Christ as a result of my going about my business? And it's been years. And as I thought about it, I thought, Lord, why? Why has it been years? Actually, I left my mind flash back to some of those neat times. You know, meeting a guy in the emergency room of a hospital and getting chatting with him. And he said, man, do you know a lot about the Bible? And inviting me over. And my wife and I went and to see him make a profession of faith right there at his dining room table. And to go back, we went back week after week, and to see him, you wouldn't even say, man, it's spiritual growth. This guy was wicked. But to see little spiritual growth, and it was so exciting. And, you know, I thought of a guy, you know, at our kitchen table that trusted Christ and came back later, and he was from out of the state, and yet he came back. And yet we moved to Ramey, and what happened? I don't even like to talk about it. Oh, we've had lots of people saved at camp. But as a result of my ministry in the community, there is not, to my knowledge, there may have been some, but to my knowledge, we have not seen one person come to Christ. That's painful. I considered three potential reasons as I thought about this. I considered three potential reasons. People just aren't being saved anymore. God's word just doesn't work. Is that the right one, Carrie? No. God's word does work, and people are being saved, and people are being transformed, and people are being glorious. You know, we talk about, boy, do you realize that you can have life in heaven? John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not only do they have life in heaven, people that receive Christ go from a life of misery to a life of joy and peace and satisfaction and joy. I can't imagine living any other way. So that's not the one. It's not because God's word does not work anymore. I considered another one. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And I thought about that, and I thought, is that one of the reasons? Am I not sowing the way I really need to sow? Now, I will confess to you, you can add this as a prayer request. I will confess to you, when we moved to Ramey, I was not as excited about inviting people to church as I had once been. And I was praying early on that the Lord would establish an independent, fundamental, Baptist, Bible-believing, preaching church somewhere on top of the mountain there in the Ramey area. And you pray for us. This would not be a ministry of Servant's Heart Camp. This would be something that would happen outside of the realm of Servant's Heart Camp, but Servant's Heart Camp would be able to support it. And so I confess, I wasn't quite as excited about, you know, inviting people to church. And so I honestly backed off a little bit. I backed off a little bit because where was I going to tell them to go to the church? Was I going to tell them to go down over the mountain? They said, we passed 15 churches to get to that. Why would you go there? And I really believe that church should be an intricate part of our reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we hear sometimes that, well, the unsaved, they're not going to come to church. And that may be true, but if they are willing. Do you remember on Sunday morning, Ben invited Corby. Was that Sunday morning? Sometime I shared this story. Ben invited Corby. And why did Corby come? Corby said, okay, I guess I got to go. And Corby went, and he sat there, and the Holy Spirit of God worked in his heart. And he said, man, that's what I want. And to see Corby and his family now, you ought to know them. They're just a neat family. Just a wonderful, neat family. Now, it came to church. And so that first step, I think church really ought to be an intricate part of us coming to Christ. But it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse for me. Now, there are times that we certainly outside of the role of church, we want to share the gospel. And there's been times that I thought, boy, this guy, he's going to come to Christ. Right after camp, through a unique situation, one of our staff members had to fly out of the Clearfield Airport. Now, if you're not familiar with the Clearfield Airport, when I got there, well, we got there and I shut off the car and we're talking, waiting for his friend to come pick him up. We're waiting for his friend to come pick him up. And there's one guy there in the airport. And when I talked to the guy, I said, well, how busy is this airport? Well, he said, that was the first plane I had today. So it's not a real busy airplane. If the plane comes in, he puts gas in the airplane. He mows the lawn. He does everything that needs to be done around there. But when I shut off the car and Ben left and I was there, I went to start the car and the car wouldn't start. So I called AAA. That's why we have AAA. I called AAA. Got to be 5 o'clock. The guy comes out of the airport. Now, when I say airport, this little runway strip there. The guy comes out. So I go over and chat with him a little bit. And we turn things towards spiritual things. And he certainly knew. He said, well, I don't believe in hell. Oh, I said, okay, why don't you believe in hell? He said, I believe in the lake of fire. I said, okay, death in Revelation chapter 20 says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. I said, okay, I can't argue with you there, you know. But went on, you know, how are you not going to spend eternity in the lake of fire? Oh, he said, I've done some really bad things. I've done some really bad things. And we had a really, really good time to chat. He was... you know, just a little bit resistant yet, but just a really good conversation. I remember going over to my car that wouldn't start, but I did have a track. And I got this track, had a bridge track at the time. I wrote my phone number in the front of the track and gave it to him. I said, call me. You know how sometimes you think, the phone's going to ring. I mean, the phone might ring before I get home. The phone never rang. You know, so please don't kick me out and say, well, he's not even sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But why have I not seen results? What is wrong that I have not been seeing results? I considered the third option. And I have, when I came to this sowing, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, I was challenged. I need to do more sowing. I didn't need to do more sowing. You know, whether we have a church or we don't have a church, and you pray for that. You pray for that. Not It certainly relates to Servant's Heart Camp, but it wouldn't be a Servant's Heart Camp church. It would be a church that we could, as a staff, get excited about. Right now, man, I have more contacts in Ramey than I ever had when we lived here in the Elizabethtown area. It would be exciting to invite people and say, hey, come on, I'd like to take you along with me to church. But the third thing that I considered is in Psalm chapter 1, and this is a very familiar passage, Psalm chapter 1, basically in verse 3, but we'll read 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, is it possible? Also, in 1 Corinthians somewhere, it says, one soweth and another watereth. Is it possible that some of the people in Ramey, God is still working in their heart? As I looked at this, I really expect to see some people in Ramey, some of the people in Ramey come to Christ. The seed has been planted, and now we have to look for the opportunity to water it as we have opportunity to. And we have to look for the opportunity. So I encourage myself with the fact that some seed has been planted. So where do I go from here? You know, sometimes we hear a message. Sometimes we hear a message about sharing our faith, and we have guilt sharing. The next day, we say, I've got to give that tract to the guy at the gas station. So the next day, there, read that. We don't say it quite like that, but we walk off and say, boy, I feel better now. I have that off my conscience. You're laughing. It happens. Not quite like that. You're much more courteous and kind, but really, you haven't bathed this in prayer. And I was thinking, what are some things that I should be doing or I can do? And you can listen with it. Pray specifically for people. As I thought about this, and actually typed it in my notes, I thought, who am I praying for right now? I have a prayer list. Who am I praying for? And I went back and I said, man, I'm praying for this couple there in the community. I'm praying for this couple. I thought, you mean I don't even have them in the list? Man, I just gave them some candy and a gospel tract and talked to them. I thought, man, I got to get them on the list. Is praying important? We talked about this before. You know, sometimes we go in like a dynamite. We need to be praying for these people that they would respond to God's simple plan of salvation. Pray. For the sake of alliteration, the next thing I have is pure. Do your neighbors, do the people in Ramey see that your life is different? Please, I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but the little hardware store that we buy, the sales tax for Pennsylvania, for a ministry like us, is pretty like this, of what you pay sales tax for and what you don't. If it's new construction, we pay sales tax. If it's maintenance to that construction, we do not pay sales tax. If it's something for the camp, we don't pay sales tax. And I would come in, and they almost look at you funny and when you say, oh, this is taxable. Well, you're tax exempt. Well, yeah, but this is taxable. And it was just so encouraging when the secretary and the guy behind the counter there were talking some time back, and they said, well, we know that we don't have to worry about Jim Fry. They were talking about people stealing and people. And that was just an encouragement to me that we had left a testimony with them. Or the guy that, when we were looking about putting in the utilities, the guy said, this one excavator, he said, why did you call DEP? He said, I'd have had this in. I'd had it through the wetland, and I had had it up to your cabins before they even knew we were doing anything. And he said, we'd had it covered back up. He said, well, no, we're not going to do anything like it. Did the people know that I am different? Did the people know that I am different? I have prey. I have pure. I have philanthropist. I can't even say the word. I could say it when I practice, but I can't say it now. What's the word, Pastor Sean? Yeah, that word, philanthropy, I can't say it. You know, if I knew any, I'd be smart, I'd be good. But what is, you know, we think of that as somebody that gives lots of money. We think of that as being somebody that gives lots of money. What do you have that you can give to your neighbors to build a relationship with them? Can you bake a cherry pie? Well, I can't, but can you bake a cherry pie? If you can bake a cherry pie, bake lots of them. Give them to your neighbors. I mean, you're starting to build a rapport. Why should they listen to you when you have not spent any time with them? Do you have strawberries in your strawberry patch? If you do, send some up to Servant's Heart. Never. No, I didn't mean that. That came out. I didn't mean that. If you have strawberries in your strawberry patch, pick a bunch of them. Give them to your neighbors. Be doing stuff. You know, a philanthropist, that word. A philanthropist does lots of things to give. We need to be giving. One of the blessings, we get this year we got 18 pallets of food. We got boxes of Reese's peanut butter cups. Some of you got Reese's peanut butter cups last night. We got boxes of Reese's peanut butter cups and Take Fives and all this candy and all this food. More Gatorade than we can possibly drink. And it's just fun to take it out to the neighbors and say, here, you want some? They said, oh, you mean you're giving me two cases of Gatorade? Yeah, you want three? And it's just fun to do. And it doesn't seem very spiritual, but I feel like it's building a rapport. Just recently, I read a book that was very helpful for me. A gal that was a professor at a university. She was a lesbian. From what she described her dress, she looked like a lesbian. She was a very prominent spokesman for that community. She would be a keynote speaker at a gay pride parade or that sort of thing. She put an editorial in the newspaper and got scads of mail. She said, they would come into my desk, and she said, I had a waste can over here that was hate mail, and I had a waste can over here that was love mail. And she said, I would just throw this stuff away. She said, I got scads of letters. She said, I got one, and I didn't know which can to put it in. The guy just asked some questions, but she said he was so kind and so gentle. She said, I laid it at my desk. It was there for a couple days, but I don't like my desk to be junky, so I just threw it away. She said, I couldn't. Later, I went and dug it out of the trash can and put it back up. She finally went and decided that she was going to call this guy, who happened to be a pastor. She called this guy, and they chatted for a while, mostly just about worldviews and just very kindly about worldviews. He said, hey, he said, I'd like to continue this conversation. He said, do you want to come over some night for supper? My wife will make supper and we'll sit around the fireplace and we'll discuss this further. He did that for several years. The husband and wife did that for several years. She describes as saying, I knew he was a pastor. She said, I drove to that church on a Sunday morning and parked in the back. She said, I'd watch all these nice families get out and all these nice homeschool kids dress so nicely, and they'd walk into church and I'd say, there's something different here. But she would never go in. After years, she realized her need of Christ. She walked into the church. She got saved. Her life was transformed. She became one of those funny homeschooling moms. And homeschooling mom doesn't mean that you're a spiritual person, but that's just what this church was. And she looked and said, man, all these things. But what was the key? She said later, if the first time I came, he would have invited me to church. She said, I'd have been gone. But they developed such a rapport, such a relationship with me, that I started being drawn to Christ. And it was just very, very neat. The final P, this I kind of prepared for me. If you can learn something, pray, keep a pure life. That word that begins with a P that means giving a lot. Propose. What do you mean propose? If a guy proposes to a girl, he is asking for a total change of life. He is asking her to change where she lives. He's asking her to change her allegiance from her father, perhaps, to her. He's asking her to change her name. He's asking her to change her finances that are no longer hers. They come together. When a guy proposes to a young lady, he's asking for a whole lot. Now, of course, many times a young lady's excited because she knows what she has to gain. If a person without Christ knows what they have to gain, they will be willing to make those changes because of what they're gaining here now. That's not even counting what they're gaining in eternity. Eternity is just icing on the cake, as it may be. Well, maybe it's reversed. Maybe the life is icing. But, man, I can't imagine living a life without Christ. I can't imagine living life without the opportunity to serve Christ and to have Christ's presence in my life. So not only do we get a wonderful life here, we get a life forever. Are you going to propose to some people, it's time for you to receive Christ? Oh, it's going to be a change. Just a side note, as I was thinking about this girl, somewhere in between, she went and talked to a Methodist pastor. And the Methodist pastor says, oh, you don't have to give up your lesbian lifestyle. You can have a lesbian lifestyle and also have Christ. And she thought, this just doesn't sound right to me. It just doesn't seem right to me. And that pastor almost sent her out the exit door of coming to Christ. Because he told her that she could have her lesbian lifestyle, because she could also have Christ. But she realized she couldn't. As I think about this, this is kind of painful for me. Oh, we've seen lots of people come to Christ at camp, but we haven't seen anyone come to Christ in the community. Would you pray for us? And perhaps these thoughts that I had here, that I want to be more diligent. In fact, I added somebody, one couple, Chubb, can't even remember his voice, Zimmerman's. I added them to the prayer list, and I decided I need to add some more when I get back. I need to add some more people to that prayer list. And I want to continue to reaching out to them, building rapport with them. But at some point, I want to come to the point that I propose to them that they need a total life change. They need to turn their back on their lifestyle. And they need to embrace Christ. And they're going to experience some joy and peace and satisfaction that they didn't know was possible. Pastor Sean.